China has decided to lift a ban it placed on Australian meat exports from 6 meatworks in July. At the time, the processors were told the ban related to Chinese concerns about non-compliant labelling. It's taken 3 months to sort out, and joining us now is the Federal Trade Minister, Stephen Chobo, from the Gold Coast. Minister, good morning and welcome to AM.
Good morning, good to be with you.
The ban related to about $100 million worth in meat. Has Australia got to the bottom of what the labelling problem was?
Well, essentially, the concern was that there are a number of processes where there was some mismatching of labelling. In other words, for example, labels that were on the exterior of the container, the outside box, were different to the labels that were inside the box. But look, what this has also served to do is reinforce to industry the importance of making sure that we comply with the import standards of any country we're exporting to, in this case China. They take food security very seriously. Australia, of course, must make sure we stand by our quality assurance on the quality of our product, and that includes making sure that technical issues like labelling are done correctly.
At the time of the ban, other processors were actually quite nervous about what China would do next. How have you been able to assuage exporters' worries about doing business in China?
Look, we wanted to move quickly. This trade to China is very significant. It's more than $800 million worth of trade. And so one of the first things I did was take the opportunity in bilateral meetings to raise our concerns with my counterpart and his vice minister at a number of different trade fora over the past 3 months. I also had the opportunity to raise it directly when I travelled to China a month or so ago. And it's been through that continuing advocacy. But I also want to acknowledge we've had really good cooperation from Chinese authorities. They've been as keen as us to see this matter resolved. We've been able to have our authorities and their authorities work alongside each other to basically bring this to the satisfaction of both so we can have the trade resume.
Is it something perhaps exporters just have to factor in that sometimes decisions like this, because at the time people said it came out of the blue, and to expect the completely unexpected in China?
Well, I think that can be said about any export market. What does matter, and what this does reinforce, as I said, is to make sure that when we are marketing ourselves to the world as providing premium products, that we have quality assurance that meets those standards as well. And that includes making sure that technical issues like labelling, for example, marry with the high standards that we set ourselves and that others expect of Australian produce.
Labor's announced that it would subject future free trade deals to analysis by the Productivity Commission before signing up to agreements. Notably, the CFMEU have fiercely attacked this as deeply misguided. What do you think?
Well, I think this is just headline seeking by the Australian Labor Party. I mean, if you look at Labor's form on trade policy, they get the big calls wrong. Bill Shorten called the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement one of the most significant agreements that the coalition has put in place, which is helping to drive exports from Australia to China, helping to underpin Australia's economic growth, helping to drive jobs. Bill Shorten described it as a dud deal. We now have a situation where the shadow trade minister has made this announcement and expects that this is going to be a game changer, but in reality it's not. The fact is that there is much scrutiny that's applied to trade deals already, done by the parliament, done by business groups, done by NGOs. So there is a lot of transparency right now.
That might be the case. I looked back at the parliamentary committee review of the US-Australia deal last night, and the Democrats then at the time opposed it. One Nation opposed it. Labor recommended it be passed, but with great reluctance. Again, wouldn't it be better to have an independent analysis done?
But the question becomes, what is the purpose of the parliament? You see, the fact is that these trade deals aren't trade deals until they're passed by the parliament. I mean, that's the entire purpose of having these trade deals scrutinised by the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties, and ultimately subject usually to the passage in the Parliament of enabling legislation. That's the way that these things work. So, you know,
there is a great deal of scepticism about free trade and about politicians at the moment, especially in regional areas, about the benefits of free trade deals. What are you doing to address that?
Well, look, this I acknowledge first and foremost, that there are a number of Australians who hold the view that free trade, that trade liberalisation hasn't been good for them. I think that view is incorrect, and I'm very happy to be an advocate about why that view is incorrect. I'm very happy to reinforce that Australia enjoys the high quality of living that we have today, among the highest standards of living in the world, in many respects built off the back of us having liberalised trade. Now, my focus is upon making sure that advocacy in that sector continues. But let's not pretend that pro-protectionist sentiment is a new thing. This has been around from the federation of our country. There have always been those who have argued that the way to empower a country, the way to make a country more prosperous, is to build tariff walls and to close down trade with other competitor nations. That's not been the view that Australia's adopted now for a long time, and it is not the pathway to a more prosperous future.
How wise will it be for MPs in the lower house to cross the floor to support a banking royal commission while the government is down Barnaby Joyce's number?
Well, I think what really matters is what is the rationale for doing that. And the simple fact is that as a government, we are taking concrete steps to do several things. One, we're reinforcing, of course, the role that ASIC has in terms of being a judge in relation to corporate behaviour. The second thing is we've implemented a whole range of new legislation, including new accountability frameworks on banking executives for the decisions that they take. Now, Labor is all about the headline again. They want the stunt of a Royal Commission. I would put to you that the Royal Commission will do basically next to nothing except see millions and millions of dollars go into lawyers' pockets rather than actually bringing about the cultural change that's required, which is where the government's directing its efforts.
Trade Minister Steve Chobo, thanks for talking to AM.
Good to be with you.